here's a story from The World.
Just 11 days away now, each Friday until Election Day, we've been gathering some of our reporters around the globe to talk about the upcoming vote. Today, the view from three continents.
The whole world is watching.
The most important election.
Human rights.
Climate change.
Race. Immigration.
Value your freedom and democracy. This is what inspires the whole world.
A fairly large roundtable today. Joining me is Halima Gikandi from Nairobi, Kenya.
Hi, Marco.
Lydia Manalidou in Athens, Greece.
Hey, Marco.
Orla Barry joins us from London, England.
Hi, Marco.
And Jorge Valencia on the line from Mexico City.
Hello, Marco.
Welcome to you all. Orla in London, let me start with you. Is the debate from last night getting a lot of attention in the UK today?
Frankly, yes. It's been the lead news story here. The national television and radio networks are running with it as the first story, which isn't particularly surprising, Marco, because Britain pays a lot of attention to the US debates and US politics. The Guardian, for example, which is the left-leaning newspaper, is leading with the headline, Biden mauls Trump's record on coronavirus in final presidential debate. Then if you look at the right-wing tabloid newspaper, The Sun, the headline says, Don Trump's Biden in composed clash as he takes responsibility for COVID crisis. So all the papers running with it and the news networks running with it, focusing mainly on the pandemic and how they covered it, and also discussions about their accounts, also talk about migrants, etc. In terms of what's being said, it's pretty much what you're hearing in the US. I imagine that the tone was much more civilized last night and the debate itself was less acrimonious than before.
Right. Well, wide agreement on that civility. Lydia Manalidou in Athens, you were waking up today as the analysts here in the States were squeezing out the last drops of spin on the debate. What was the reaction there this morning?
Yeah, so I was flipping through all the Greek channels, and I have to say the coverage this time, the coverage of this debate, there was way less of it. The morning after the first debate, when I was going through all the news, you know, there were headlines describing it as chaotic, torturous, of no substance. Last night's debate, like Orla said, was described here as a bit calmer, more civilized, more substantive, and with a bigger focus on the issues. But yeah, there was way less coverage of this second debate. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that it was less of a spectacle.
Right. Not so much coverage for shock value like previous debates. Jorge Valencia in Mexico City, what are you seeing there?
Well, not that much coverage of the debate last night. And it's a little bit surprising because both candidates spent a few minutes last night talking about migration policies that connect directly to Mexico and to Central America. In particular, they spoke about this policy that they didn't name, but it is called Remain in Mexico, that has forced more than 60,000 people, mostly from Central America, to wait in squalid conditions in northern Mexico for asylum hearings in the United States. But instead, let me just tell you really quick what the top headlines today are. Coronavirus or organized crime in southern Mexico, even the resolution to a water dispute between Texas and northern Mexico.
So Halima, pulling back, when it comes to the election kind of writ large and the campaigns and the debates over policy, what are some of the big themes here that are getting attention in Nairobi? Like when you ask people there what they see at stake for them in the U.S. election, what do you hear?
Good question. I mean, broadly, when it comes to Kenya and also other African countries in the region, not much has actually changed under the administration of President Trump compared to previous administrations. That said, one thing that is interesting is at the very, very local level, I'm talking about in some of the poorest, most vulnerable areas, that's where I see people caring. This morning, I spoke with activists who were saying that they were following the debate. They were passing around links of it on YouTube, and they'll be sharing it because the expansion of the global gag rule, which of course is a U.S. policy that puts restrictions on NGOs that receive U.S. funding that also provide abortion services. And that policy has expanded under the Trump administration. And a lot of activists and health workers I've spoken with even today said that has impacted them. They've lost funding over it, and they've seen the consequence when it comes to the health of vulnerable women. So that's been really interesting to me, that maybe the stakes at the top level aren't that big, but at the very, very, very local level, people are caring about this election.
Mm. Jorge, it would seem like there's a lot at stake for the people of Mexico with this election, at the very least when it comes to immigration. How much attention does that get there?
issues of migration make headlines here only when President Donald Trump puts it at the center of his agenda or he tweets about it. The issue that does get the most attention, though, here is the pandemic, because Mexico, like many other countries, is bracing for a very tough few months ahead. And actually, I'm really glad that we're on the line with our colleagues, because I wonder if it's the same case somewhere else. I don't know, Orla, is it the same case in England, that it's the country's dramas go on, but the coronavirus is this cloud that continues to hang over everything?
Absolutely, Jorge. In fact, the pandemic probably is the issue that most people have taken note of in terms of the US and Donald Trump's handling of it. In terms of what's at stake, actually, there's quite a lot at stake with regards to the US election, because what you have to bear in mind is that Britain has always had this close relationship with the US. But one feature of that relationship is that Britain has always been sort of seen as the kind of connector between the US and Europe. So anytime the US had kind of issues with the European Union, generally they spoke to the UK about it, and it gave the US presidents a better understanding of how various European countries work. Now, with Britain exiting the European Union, it loses that role and it loses that sort of extra connection that it has with the US. One other thing to bear in mind, and I hate to bring up the B word, Marco, and all the rest of you who are so tired of hearing it, yeah, but Brexit does play a very big part in all of this, because Trump has actually been quite supportive of Brexit and supportive of Boris Johnson, but Biden not so much. And people, conservative MPs, I should say, were very irritated a few weeks ago when Biden tweeted that there would be no US-UK free trade agreement if the Brexit talks ended with the Good Friday Agreement being undermined. This is the peace agreement in Northern Ireland that was agreed back in 1998. And that really annoyed Tory MPs and Boris Johnson's colleagues here. They have a greater ally in Donald Trump.
Lydia Manolidou in Athens, how does this play out in Greece? Like, if the US pivot to Europe is through London traditionally, what's the picture in Greece as Greece sees its future with the US?
Yeah, right now one big issue here has to do with Turkey. So recently, Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has been sending drilling ships and other vessels to search for gas in areas claimed by Cyprus and Greece. And this is, Brussels has called this a provocation. This is constantly on the news, and Greece desperately wants the support of the EU and the US on this issue. So I think the Trump administration has at least symbolically shown its support for Greece. US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was here a few weeks ago, and there was a lot of cheering about the fact that he chose to come to Greece during this moment of escalation and not go to Turkey. So I think whoever the next U.S. president is, Greece will really want their support on this issue. Beyond that, as you all know, Greece has had a really big influx of migrants in recent years, and it's been really interesting to talk to them about the U.S. election. Many of them come from non-democratic countries that have been torn apart by war, countries like Syria, Afghanistan. I was speaking the other day to one migrant from Egypt who was telling me that he feels like he's watching the collapse of the U.S.
Mm. So let's wrap up with a round robin question on things that have surprised you. What has given you each like a double take where you are when it comes to reactions to this very polarized race, or just how people there are following this election? Jorge, first to you.
Well, just how informed a lot of people are on the U.S. election and electoral politics. Like, a lot of people seem to know the importance of Florida and Pennsylvania. Just things that, to me, would seem like just like inside baseball. So, yeah, I'm very surprised about just how good of a grasp many people have on our issues in the U.S.
Halima, surprises in Nairobi?
We're seeing this combination of challenges in the U.S. right now, disinformation, voter disenfranchisement, armed militias. The fact that there's an actual question about could there be electoral violence really resonates with Kenyans here. You know, Kenyans have dealt with their own history of electoral violence in the past decade. And I see a lot of discussions about this idea of, wow, the U.S. also has problems like African countries here.
Yeah, Jorge and Halima, I'm also kind of surprised here in Athens, Greece, by the attention people are paying to the election, the close attention they're paying. And then also I'm surprised by how emotional people get when they talk about the U.S. election and the connections they're drawing between what's going on in the U.S. and what's going on in Greece. So during the last debate, President Donald Trump refused to denounce this white supremacist group, the Proud Boys. And a few days after that, here in Greece, we had this really huge decision on Golden Dawn, this neo-Nazi group. And there was a court decision a few days ago, and when they were found guilty of running a criminal organization. And when I was speaking to anti-racism, anti-fascism activists after this huge decision, what many people considered a historic decision here, many brought up Trump's refusal to denounce this extremist group. And they said that that kind of rhetoric sets their fight back and also sets back the efforts of many activists around the world.
Yeah, some stark parallels there. A final hit from Orla Barry in London. Has anything struck you especially?
What people are wondering here is what a future relationship with Boris Johnson and Joe Biden might look like, because there is a perception here that there's a great bromance going on between Boris Johnson and Donald Trump. But what that relationship will be like with Joe Biden, if Joe Biden does win the election, is something that people wonder about.
What a great discussion, everyone. The World's Orla Barry in London, Halima Gikandi in Nairobi, Lydia Manalidou in Athens, and Jorge Valencia in Mexico City. Thanks very much for being here. Have a great weekend, and we will reconvene the roundtable next Friday when there will be just 3 full days to the vote.